reported only a few cases and dismissed most of them as natural predator kills, which is consistent with a pattern in the United States and other parts of the world officially also. However, one veterinarian in Puerto Rico named Carlos Soto was interviewed by Carl Ross for the San Juan Star newspaper and said that he examined rabbits killed last October from twin puncture wounds that entered beneath the right side of the jaw and extended into the brain. The wounds were said to be, by the veterinarian, the diameter of a drinking straw and 3 to 4 inches deep, which is at least twice as long as the longest canines on a dog. When he performed necropsies on the animals, he found that one rabbit's trachea and esophagus were missing, even though the rabbit's exterior hide had not been cut. And I have a case with a veterinarian report that goes back to 1989 period in Red Bluff, Nebraska, when exactly the same thing happened to a cow there. The veterinarian found that the esophagus and the trachea had been removed from within that cow. Now, as I reported before, eyewitnesses in different parts of the island have described encounters with different kinds of creatures, ranging from a large monkey or primate to the chupacabras with the big eyes to things that fly in the sky, leaving a very confusing picture. And even in the same area of Canovanas, east of San Juan, there have been different descriptions. The following excerpts from interviews that I did a couple weeks ago begin with a family who all saw on the same day, last August, a big dark-eyed humanoid near their house. First, you will hear the husband, Miguel Augusta, who watched the creature jump from inside a truck to the ground and over a 5-foot-high chain-link fence. Then his wife, Madeline, and her mother, who watched through the front window of their house as the creature stood about 6 feet away.
This creature is about from 3 to 4 feet high.
Esta criatura venía en una forma como jorobada.
This creature was walking in a crawling way. Crawling, like he was crawling.
Es así cuando se para aquí, da un salto.
It's just that way when he just stood right here and then he just jumped.
Saltó esta verja y se internó en ese pastizal aledaño al taller.
And he hit itself way up there by the grass.
De esta aparición que tuvo aquí, que mi esposa lo ve ese mismo día a las 2 de la tarde.
After this appearance that I saw him, my wife also saw him the same day around 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Between
2 and 4 o'clock the same day in the afternoon.
Paraba al frente mío, cristal como por espacio de casi un minuto.
This creature was standing in front of me for a space of a minute.
La pude observar bastante bien.
And I could observe it very well.
How far from her sitting here now to how far here?
Más o menos a qué distancia estaba la criatura de tu persona.
Más o menos como de 4 to 5 feet, donde está mi esposo.
4 to 5 feet,
okay,
apart. And the thing that really impressed me was the eyes of this creature. And I get scared every time I have to talk about this.
Okay. What?
Because I have the experience eye to eye.
Okay. What? Is there anything she can compare the eyes that she was looking at to anything?
¿Hay algo que tú puedas comparar los ojos de este animal con algo que tú hayas visto en la vida?
Verdad, yo me río, pero es que lo que parece es, sinceramente, de estos extraterrestres que pintan en las películas.
Excuse me, I have to laugh, but it seems to me like, it looked like one of these extraterrestrials that you see in movies.
The color of the eyes were dark, gray. The eyes, the whole eyes, was like wet.
What happened at the feet?
¿Y cómo eran los pies?
Los pies acá abajo eran como de una persona, pero lo único que eran 3 dedos, lo que yo le vi.
It's just like a human feet, but the only difference that I saw only three toes. There was a lot of mud on the foot.
But it looked like a human foot.
Pero se veía como
se veía, sí.
Yes.
Se veía claro.
Yeah. Very clear.
Did it look like fingers that had claws?
Se veían como dedos.
Sí, se veían como
just like fingers.
Pero con esas uñas, pues, lo hacía ver como más, qué sé yo, más aterrador.
But the nails give you the impression of fiercely impression.
Okay, so it would be like a hand like mine.
Las manos como las mías.
How long would my nails have?
¿Cómo qué largo serían los dedos, las uñas?
Okay, that's about at least 2-inch nails.
Como de 2 pulgadas de largo.
2-inch
sí,
nails.
Y eran con curva.
Kind of curved.
The color. The color of
y el color de esas uñas, ¿cómo sería?
Oscura, eran gris oscuro.
Gray, but very dark.
Claro, también el plumaje.
When I started screaming, that's when my mother came out.
Al principio.
At the beginning.
Yo pensé que era un kangaroo.
I thought it was a kangaroo.
Que la hocica es como larguita.
Because the nose was kind of, the face was kind of long face.
Pero cuando lo chequeo por detrás.
But when I saw the back,
le veo como un plumaje.
I could see some feather on the back.
Acosadito como.
That were laid down.
Y miré a ver si tenía rabo.
And then I looked to see whether he has a tail.
Pero no tenía nada.
But it has no tail.
Entonces ahí yo pensé que no.
Then I thought that it was not a kangaroo.
Entonces esto se metió hacia el pasto que era el sol al lleno.
Then that fin just went through the grass on the other side.
Se escondió así, se tiró.
And he hit itself.
A month later in September, a computer technician named Juan Moratti was walking to his car at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when he was frightened by a different creature.
I had the feeling someone was looking at me, right? I take a glance and I see it, and I see the red big eyes, and I said, "The chupacabra." And I got, you know, worrisome and scared. So I kept looking to the car. I didn't want to show the animal, I had fear. I kept walking. Then I took a second look, and I see right over there, it's another one, the dry branch.
Oh, yeah.
It was right there, and it was sitting upright, not hanging down, upright.
What, sitting on that branch?
Branch, yes, upright. No, it was not hanging down like the bat. It was going upright. Then it was all black and non-reflective black. Like a band, you know, but non-reflective. But the eyes were really round. It was like a red Coca-Cola can, but it is reflective, very glassy, the eyes.
All right, what you're saying is that whatever it was appeared black.
Non-reflective black.
Except for the eyes. They were like a red on a Coca-Cola can.
Or a ketchup bottle, but really glassy, very reflective. Then I really got scared, you know, so I kept walking without showing the animal. I had fear. So I keep walking to the car. Then I hear this sound, blah, 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 blah. I look again, and he's flying away.
And, Eric, about a month and a half after that sighting, a long enough time to not say there was a direct link, he's the man who found one of his pit bulls, a male, with 2 puncture marks in the side of its neck. I've seen the videotape. The dog is still alive. It was loud and barking when I was there. But the 2 holes did not ooze any blood or any fluid. And then the week before I was there, one of his female dogs also suffered some puncture marks in her neck. And his entire home and where the dogs are is enclosed by approximately an 8-foot-high chain cyclone fence all the way around the property.
What in the world do you think it is down there? I mean, whatever it was motivated you to go flying down to Puerto Rico, boom, just like that. What do you think that is? What is that creature?
Yeah, what has motivated me and the people who wanted me down there is that if we could get some of the tissue and some of the grass and do some of the research that we've done on animals, we might see if there is a common denominator to what we found in other parts of the world to start off with. And the second thing is, what are we dealing with?
Exactly.
Because this creature that the family described is a distinct humanoid shape that appears to be able to walk on 2 feet. She said that they looked human to her except 3 toed, with the second and the 4th toe missing, so to speak, spaces there, but that whatever it is, it tends to go down onto the front arms also when it begins to move. Many people describe that. And then here is this creature that this man has described, and it reminds me of some of the reports going all the way back 20-some years ago when the vampire of Moca was a phenomena on the northwestern corner of Puerto Rico, clear to the far end from Canovanas, where they also found the same kinds of animals, chickens, goats, cows, horses, and rabbits, with puncture marks 25 years ago. But I don't recall, and if anybody listening has any contrary files, I'd be happy to hear.
All right,
but I don't remember any reports 25 years ago of this kind of creature.
We're going to take your address here and phone number in a moment. But I'll say this, and I think I said it to you last week when you were in Puerto Rico, eventually, one of these days, Linda, you keep going to these hot spots where things are happening, and you're going to come face to face with a pair of red eyes.
And then what am I going
to
do?
I can't wait to find out. Tell people how to get a hold of you, please.
Okay. Let's see. I'll start with the fact that I do have a new mailing address because a new post office has come into the community where I live.
Oh, my.
And so it is now Post Office Box 300. And the city is Jamison, J-A-M-I-S-O-N, Pennsylvania. And the zip code is 18929. And again, Post Office Box 300, Jamison, Pennsylvania, 18929. And the toll-free 800 number for information about my books and documentaries or to leave a brief message is 800-707-9993. Again, that's 800-707-9993. And my fax number is 215-491-9842.
Wonderful. Linda, we will look forward to hearing from you next week, and it'll be at a slightly later hour, giving everybody a taste of Linda Howe in the third hour of the program.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, I've got a surprise for you.
Oh.
You get to do the whole third hour.
Oh, I do.
Oh, yes, you do.
All right.
So we'll talk to you.
I'll be up for it.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much. That's Linda Howe, of course, all the way from Philadelphia. And I thought I'd surprise her. You know, she gets a whole third hour. It's going to be a very, very interesting show next week. We'll be right back. If you suffer from... Take a break, and when we come back, it'll be Stan Johnson, the man who has spent part of his life with Sasquatch. He'll tell us all about it next. See.
Kingdom of Nine. We continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
Once again, here I am. All right, now listen carefully. The name of the book is Bigfoot Memoirs, My Life with the Sasquatch by Stan Johnson. Rumors of UFO appearances have long been reported near sightings of Sasquatch, as many as you know, I hope. As elusive as the extraterrestrials, the giant Sasquatch have remained aloof to human contact until they asked Stan Johnson. We'll find out why. To act as goodwill ambassador and tell their story. Accompanied with the Sasquatch, Mr. Johnson relates contact with extraterrestrial craft and interdimensional travel. Among the many species that Johnson met in the company of Sasquatch was, guess what? A six-fingered humanoid. The six fingers of the extraterrestrial recovered in the 1947 Socorro crash shattered the previously popular concept of the four-fingered gray alien. Bigfoot Memoirs was set to page And at press, when the autopsy confirmed Bigfoot Memoir's account of highly sentient life forms with six fingers associated with the extraterrestrial. So in other words, when the big story on the Socorro crash in the film broke, Mr. Johnson had already gone to press with his account. So it certainly underscores it very well. In just one moment, would surprise me. That's 1-800-877-9799. North American Trading, and one other item, and then off to the races we go. The Sasquatch races. It's Real Talk, and it's in stock at 7:30 a.m. It is the hottest electronic item of the year. The number is 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863, the C. Crane Company. Now, all the way up to somewhere in Oregon, I guess, Stan Johnson, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, very good. Where are you, Stan?
I'm in Oakland, Oregon. It's right southern central part, and about 70 miles from Pacific Coast.
Very good.
Right in the mountains.
In the mountains. That would be actually Bigfoot country, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
All right, Stan, I don't know where to begin. I recently got a photograph of what somebody claims to be a Bigfoot creature. Are you sure, certain, absolutely positive, you must be, based on the advance billing here, that there is such a thing as Sasquatch?
Well, I'll tell you, I would like to introduce myself.
All right.
I'm Stan Johnson, as you know. I have been hypnotized twice. I took sodium pentothal once, the voice stress test once, to prove that everything I'm saying, it's my experience. Mine. Nobody else is telling me. I don't go investigate it. Nobody. Or nothing. They come and get me. And that's all my experience.
Yeah, I guess you've...
Come and get me to go. They'll teleport me up there.
You've had a lot of requests for radio and television interviews, haven't you?
I've been on just right now makes over 456 talk shows in the last 9 years.
Wow. Why do you think they picked you, Stan?
I haven't any idea. I asked that question. They said because you're you. You will never change. I'm an old retired logger and rancher. I'm 80 years old. I still get around good because I have help from upstairs. And I go in, if I need help, I go into another dimension, fifth dimension.
And that's kept you alive?
That's kept me alive and going, I think.
When was your first encounter?
Well, now we have to go back on that. Actually, I was most years I start out the other about where I met him up here. But the first time I ever met the, I was born in the state of Missouri, in the Ozark Mountains. 1923, I met what they call the Wild Man, which was the Bigfoot. Back there, they call him the Wild Man. My dad, my mother, everybody never thought nothing about it, about him, because they knew they were around there in the Ozark Mountains. We moved away from that, and I got pretty well acquainted with him. I'd go over and get the cattle of the evening when I was seven, 8 years old. I played with him about 2 years. We'd put a stake in the ground under a big hickory nut tree, and we'd get ten hickory nuts to see who could hit that stick the most times. He'd lay down so he wouldn't be so large. He was, I'd say, 7.5 feet tall and weighed about 325 pounds. He was very muscular, looked like a big basketball player. We left there. Dad sold the old homestead, and we left. We went about 9 miles from there.
Wait, Stan. What did this creature look like? You gave me his height. Very muscular, you said, but...
Very muscular built.
Hairy?
Very, very muscular, like a big basketball player.
Okay, but I'm asking, was he hairy?
Hairy?
I mean,
yes, he had hair about 4 inches long all over his body. And not completely all over his face.
Now, Stan, if I came face-to-face with a creature like that, it'd scare the hell out of me. I'd go running the other way.
All right. Now, that's just exactly what we're after. All right? We're after... So the people, these people will come out and have their pictures taken. Now, I asked a guy that I was acquainted with, the reporter for tabloid, I won't tell you which one, if I got him a chance to go up and take a picture, if he would put it in the paper just like they were. And he said, no, he couldn't do that because that's the way they make their money. They got to keep them animals. They're not animals. They're human beings. They get married just like we do. They have families just like we do.
They do.
They pray to God just like we do, and they're vegetarians.
Well, Stan, I live out here in a fairly isolated area, but I do get around, and I've never seen one.
Well, that's the reason you, like you said, it would scare you, didn't you?
Well, yeah, something 7 feet
tall. That's what we're trying to do, get people to realize there's nothing to be scared about. They've never harmed a person in their lives.
No, but wait a minute, Stan. You said they get married, they have children, they...
I did.
Then we should be seeing some 7-foot, very hairy, muscular types.
You know, that's what means large, gentle being by the Indian language.
Oh, does it?
That's what they named them hundreds of years ago. They've dealt with them.
No, I did not know that. It means large, gentle being?
Yes.
Huh.
And that's just what they are. They go in and out of the fifth dimension. Now we've poisoned all their food. They're strictly vegetarians. By the spray and stuff, and there's a big reward out for them. Better alive.
Well, were you aware that Sasquatch was officially put on the endangered species list?
When was that?
A couple of days ago.
I've seen that. Was that actually true?
Well, I could say something humorous and say if Dan Rather said it, it must be true.
Was he the one who said
it? Dan Rather, who reported it.
I just caught just a part of it, and I just seen it on that. Well, that's what I've been trying to do. That's one of what we've been working on.
In other words, trying to get Bigfoot on the endangered.
Well,
list.
We're just trying to get the reward stuck off of them, and so they can help people when you get lost in the woods. They can help you and bring you out.
There was a scientist up in Washington, and I had his name.
Grover Glenn.
Well, now wait a minute. He wrote an article in a newspaper last week saying that he believes the first Sasquatch should be shot.
That's the one that he's got a lot to do with this. Award I'm talking about.
I see.
You're talking about Grover Krent.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. And he said...
I've asked him to go on the TV or radio talk show with me and debate with me, and he said he would not.
He wouldn't do it. Well, he said then the person who shoots the second one ought to be hung. But he said, for the sake of science, the first one ought to be shot. You don't think so, huh?
What I asked him, what if it was the last one on Earth? And he said, so what? We'd know what it was. Not what it is today, but what it was.
What
yesterday.
It was, yeah. Yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And we could dissect it and find out about it.
That's right. I don't believe that. Now you talk about all this other. I don't travel around too much because I can't afford. I don't take money for a lot of stuff. I'll make about maybe $2,000 off my book I got out,
uh-huh.
But that'll be about it. I'll imagine. Because I go do seminars. I will get, if I may say so, a place that I'm going to be in June.
Oh, you're welcome to, sure.
Okay, I'm going to be in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, well, we're being
with
heard.
Shirley MacLaine will be my host.
No kidding.
And we have, I don't know how many of the people will be there, and a guy that you had not too long ago, which is a very dear friend of mine, the Colonel Harley Byrd.
Oh, yes.
He will be there. And we will be down there, and we'll be on CNN.
All right. I've got to get some things straightened out in my mind.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, thank you. Good.
Hi, anyway.
Well, make me understand. They get married, they have children, they live as we do, and yet we don't see them, or at least we barely see them.
Well, if you see them, they have been several people run and hurt themselves. They have been people had heart attacks.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Well, there was a guy not long ago, a man about 52 years old, had a heart attack back up here in the mountains, not too far from where I live. Because one stepped out in the path, him and his boy, 14-year-old boy, not Sasquatch boy, but this guy was hiking. And this guy had, the man had a heart attack. The Sasquatch told the boy to go down, ask him if he had a radio in his their pickup about a quarter of a mile away, and he said yes. He said go call the paramedics, just like that. I'll keep him alive till you get back. The paramedics, two of them, they said they seen him there, and he said he's all yours. He's still alive, and he took off and just vanished because he went into another dimension.
So their lives, the lives that you're talking about, they have, being married with children and all the rest of it.
They can have...
These lives are in another dimension.
They go into the fifth dimension. It's the vortex is 3 miles from where I live.
There's a vortex.
Yeah, that's a door into another dimension. The lady that edited this book, she was came down, her and the publisher, and I took them up there and I told her, take off her shoes and stand in one spot, and she'll tell you, right in the front of the book. Said she was skeptic, but after she stood there and felt the sob and the quiver of the earth, which was a door of the time warp, and where you go in, that she was feeling.
Well, you've been there, Stan. What's on the other side?
It's a beautiful, beautiful. If there's ever a paradise, that's it. And every animal, human being in there is a vegetarian.
All vegetarians, huh?
And when I came out, came back home, I started to tell my wife about the color of the pathway, the big cobblestone pathway, and the big castle that was there. She said, wait, let me tell you something. She told me exactly the color of it, exactly the pathway, what it looked like, because she said she had never been there. She said she had dreamed it, but she hadn't dreamed it. She had been there in her astral form.
Huh. So there's a door, and you've taken people to this door. Have you
taken them to them, but I can't take them in it.
You can't take them in it? Why not?
I haven't got that much authority, not much power to do it. Because if I do that, and I would I lose all that I've learned and have got and prayed. I'd lose the power that I've got to travel. I can teleport, or I can astral. Well, I've been traveling out of my body for years. But, so that's the reason I've been asked why I didn't turn him in. Trick one of them, turn him in for the money that's offered us.
That's a good question. If you could make
because they're friends of mine. They're just like families.
I know, but $1 million is a lot of money, Stan.
Yeah, but so is a loved one. I love people.
Well,
I don't know. I think I got $140 in my pocket, and that's what we've got. We live on $900 a month.
We call them Sasquatch, but really, are they just...
The family I know is named Aro family. That's A, that's got a big R, and then a small R, like would be Min Mac. It's A R R O W E. And his wife's name is Natee, N-A-T-E, spelled kind of like Nate. His daughter's name was Lockel, L-O-C-K-E-L-L.
Wow.
And they can only have one child, unless something happens to the man or the woman. And then they can get married again and have another.
That's like the Chinese.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
So they control their population that way.
That's right.
Do they live in regular homes, as we know?
No, they don't.
No? What do they live in?
Up here, they kind of built a hut across down in the dry creek bed. And they're the cleanest people I've ever seen. Anytime they're around water, they'll bathe. And when they don't, they... You know what Penny Royal is?
No.
Yes, the peppermint family like to put in dog and flea collars.
Oh, yes.
They wrap their bodies down with that 2 and 3 times a day, because it grows wild in the mountains out in here. Most any mountains, you can find it. And when you walk through them, you'll smell a kind of a funny smell, and that's you're stepping in that on that pennyroyal.
Wow.
But anyway, they are, and then that hut was just as clean. They have furbrows on the ground, and they left there in about 2 weeks after I stayed up there with them a while. And one night, in fact, up there. And well, I went back about 3 weeks later, and I couldn't find a sign of nothing around there.
Well, Stan, you talked to them, right?
Yes, I talked to them. They can talk any language you start.
Well, that's great. That's a lot of communication. Then, Stan, my question is, why have you not asked them why me?
Why me?
Yeah.
I have.
And what did they tell you?
They said because you're you and always will be you. You'll never change. They meant because money is... Sure, I can use money. We've got a place that's paid for. We got $900 a month. Why do we worry about money? My wife's 75 and I'm 80.
So they feel safe with you.
And I know because Steven Spielberg sent a field man out here in 1987.
Did he really?
Yes, he did. I don't know where he sent him or not, but he came out here and he had a blank check. we wouldn't accept it. I don't know how much he gave me.
What did he...
The rights to have made a movie out of this. So he wanted to make animals out of them like the damn tabloids do.
So, I've got a picture, Cliff Crook's picture. He claims he's got a picture of Bigfoot. I've got that. And it does look like a big animal. And what you're saying then is, this is not Bigfoot.
Well, I don't doubt nobody's word. Anything about it.
That's very...
But a guy told me that was supposed to help take a picture a long time ago of one that was in a book.
Right.
I'm not saying what book or anything, and he said that it was touched up. And he was one of the best photographers around in this part of the country.
Well, the problem is anything these days can be touched
up. But I'm saying that these people out here... There are seven species, but most of them like the Yeti and the Snowman and those like that. They're all going the same deal. But the Sasquatch was, put it this way, the Sasquatch was the first people on this planet. It's their planet.
They were here before we were.
Yeah, because they have one more deal that we have. They have two sets of lungs. And when God built this earth, there wasn't enough vegetation, there wasn't enough shrubbery here, there wasn't enough oxygen for people like us to live. So he sent the Sasquatch down. And when it got where we could live, then, my friend, we're all space people, because that's where we came from. Now, Archangel Michael told me this.
Archangel Michael?
Archangel Michael. Lord Michael. Lord Gabriel. Archangel Gabriel.
Are you a religious person? Are you a religious person?
Not exactly. I believe from my heart. I go from what my heart tells me. My Bible is my heart. My church is my heart. I don't go to church. I am an ordained minister, but I do spiritual healings, or rather, I'm an instrument of it. Jesus and God gives me the power to do that. I do that. I had to be ordained because they told me psychic healing was against the law. So it cost me $25 for five councilmen and the ministers to sign the papers and hand them in.
I see.
Blast a piece of paper.
You got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Well.
Once again, Sasquatch, haven't you wondered? I'm sure you've wondered. They say because you are you. You must have wondered yourself, how could they know this about you, that you were not dangerous?
Well, like I say, they had been watching me practically all my life.
Uh-huh.
I've never lived in town. I always knew there was something out there. My wife and I talked right out in the yard in the summertime, and something's around. What is it? And we'd look up at the stars, and we'd wonder what was going on. Now, when I went into the fifth dimension, there was a fruit tree growing there. That big, melon-like fruit hanging down like a honeydew melon.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them if that was good to eat, and they said yes. It was hanging right pretty near down to the ground. And I said, they asked me if I wanted them to pick me one. And I said, absolutely not. I want to pick it. I picked and ate it, and it did taste like a honeydew melon.
All right.
I'll go back to the story.
No, we're going to have to hold up, Stan, for just a moment. We're at the top of the hour, so relax for a few minutes. I know you've got a cold, and we'll be right back to you. This is Dreamland. Has families as normal people. They do not live in houses. They're vegetarians. And we're going to find out. And yet they do have big, muscular, hairy bodies. And we'll find out more in a moment. You right now. Back now to Oregon and Stan Johnson. Stan?
Yep.
Okay. The Sasquatch is... eats nothing but vegetables, vegetarian.
That's right, and they have an education. Four more. There's a 16-year-old girl that I have got her picture sketched, an Indian medicine woman sketched it, by looking at me and having me to look at her and say that I think that she was this girl. And she has her education is equal to about five bachelor degrees that we get out of our college.
Why not just take a good 35-millimeter camera across with you?
He won't let me do that. That is one request. That is another reason people don't see them. They take a Camry. They don't want their pictures taken until they're ready for it to be took.
All right.
That's the reason you don't find no bones, you don't find no hair. There's been nothing found of those people because they go right back into fifth dimension just at a snap of the finger. As I have a deal here, a book about the Indians where they seen them over in eastern Oregon just disappear right into the face of the cliff, right into a cliff, and they couldn't figure out how. They went up there and there was no hole or nothing. They just went in.
Huh.
Just disappeared.
All right, you know where there's one vortex. I've got a fellow here from Bakersfield, California, who wants to know if there are other vortexes or doors, if you will, or openings into the...
Yes, this vortex line for the fifth dimension runs clear up in Canada and up in Alaska and runs clear over to the Hawaii Island, and from there I don't know where. There is actually three doors here, but they can go in anywhere. I can only go in one of these three spots. And at the Red Rock Canyon, you know where that's at?
Of course I do.
Okay, there's the Red Rock Canyon. There's a vortex right there.
All right. Listen to this. This is what somebody just faxed in, Stan. Dear Art, I can't believe what you just read for the introduction of Stan Johnson about Bigfoot Sasquatch asking him to tell their story. What story? Bigfoot is no more related to aliens than a gorilla. The common belief among Bigfoot researchers is that Bigfoot is a descendant of Gigantopithecus, a prehistoric ape. Your guest does nothing but cause people to laugh at real researchers. Sasquatch means wild man of the woods, not large, gentle beings. I have no idea where your guest gets his information from. Maybe the national tabloid papers. What do you say to that?
Because I hate the tabloid papers. That's what I'm trying to do. Prove that they're not, and I will prove it sooner or later if they'll take that reward out so that they can come out and have their pictures took.
So you think it's the reward that's keeping them...
It is, absolutely.
$1 million is a lot of money.
I want to get some reporter, a couple reporters, go up there sometime this year, I hope. And we'll take some pictures, because they want to help the people, same as the space people out there.
All right, but you are connecting them, and that's what causes this man to say what he said. He said, again, Bigfoot is no more related to aliens than a gorilla is.
That Bigfoot is an alien. He had his own planet up there at one time. Their own planet, and they was like we were with Russia, trying to see who could build the biggest bomb, and they blew up their planet. So the other planet, 17 other planets that's in our federation, we make 18, they went and picked them up, brought them off on their planet.
Wait a minute. You said they blew up their planet?
They blew up their planet. It just practically burned up.
Well,
they made such a laser bomb of some kind. I don't know what that was.
Laser bomb, okay, but wait a minute, Stan. You said that their name means big, gentle people.
No, I said the Indians gave them that name.
Well, why would...
They were so big, we were gentle.
Why would big and gentle people blow up a planet?
But they're gentle here. They will fight. One of these guys got killed when in a spaceship trying to keep another spaceship out from here from destroying our planet. They're guarding us all the time.
So they are our friends.
But they're gentle people here. They're our friends. They're to us. They're gentle to the Indians and gentle to the people that... They're lovable people. That was one thing I told them when the first thing went up there before I seen them. I said, hey, I've got something I'd want to give you. I want to give you my love, unconditional love. If you'd please take it. If not, let's just be friends. And the guy spoke to me and said, we want your love. We've had it for years. And knew it. So therefore, they are what I'm telling. And the only reason this world ain't destroyed already is because of the space people, the other people on the other planets. And you've seen that face on Mars. That they showed around, there's no face on Mars.
Oh, yes, there is.
No, they're not.
Well, then what is it?
It's an observation dome. The big dome. People live inside of Mars. They don't live on Mars.
People live inside of Mars?
Inside of Mars. There's a 475-mile-an-hour wind goes around there. It blows acid dust that swirls around there 24 hours a day. Pyramids up there.
Well, I believe that we sent a probe to Mars, and we know quite a bit about its atmosphere.
Well, I've been there, sir. I've been inside of it.
It's hard to argue
with
that.
Like I said, it's my experience I'm talking about. And if people don't believe me, I can't help it. And I like to say, I've had some pretty big talks at a lot of places. I've even been on London stations.
Uh-huh.
All over the world.
And you're saying you were hypnotized twice.
I was hypnotized twice, took sodium pentothal once, and the voice stress test. I was sodium pentothal because CIA gave it to me because I...
Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
A deal signed up, universal law out there, that President Harding signed, and said that no one planet could interfere with the other planet during time of war. I seen it. John Lear had it.
John Lear?
John Lear.
Fascinating. You're much deeper into this than I imagined you were.
Well, I've been into it. I mean, like I say, every time I go out in space, I go to Sirius 4. That's the dog star.
Sirius 4.
Seems like I'm going home. That's Big Dipper. On the Big Dipper. In the Big Dipper.
Is that where they are from, is Sirius 4?
The who? Bigfoot?
Yeah.
No, they're from, Santa Terra, I believe was the name of their planet. They blew up.
And where is that? Or
I
what
haven't any
it?
Idea, sir.
No idea.
Any idea. I have been and seen five other planets. And I knew that I was put out. There was a guy in Dallas, Texas, the radio station there, that I was on that got mad because the science said they couldn't figure out why that comet didn't hit Jupiter. I told them 6 months before that it wouldn't hit Jupiter because I was told that they would blow it up the same way they're blowing up them things that the lady of Howe that was just on.
Linda Howe.
Linda Howe.
Yes.
Said they'd blow up stuff like that before it hit the ground and it disintegrated. They got a deal that they'll just disintegrate it.
They, meaning Sasquatch.
Yeah, well, no. I mean people from other space, other planets. Mostly they'll be from Sirius 4 or Sidka or someplace like
and
that.
And they are protecting things from hitting Earth.
They have to.
Why?
Because, well, let's say, if an 18 boat out here on a still lake of water, somebody rocks one of them boats, that'll start a chain reaction and it'll interfere with all these other boats. Anything that'll interfere with this planet will interfere with one of these other planets. It'll keep going and it'll cause every one of them trouble. And we have done interfered with, we've done rocked our boat.
We've rocked our boat, huh?
We've knocked it off its axis by all the underground explosions and all that stuff.
Well, we've been doing that, the French most recently, that's for sure. All right, Stan, stand by. And we'll be right back to you. You're listening to Dreamland.
We all know that information is what it's all about. And look, if you want to be plugged into the latest, hottest, hard data on UFOs, I've got something for you. Get a pen, get a paper. It's called UFO News World Report. It is just brimming with the information you're looking for. UFO News searches the world to objectively cover the whole alien spectrum, from sightings, encounters, to alleged abductions.
I want to take a couple of phone calls and let people ask you...
Go ahead. I've got a lot of people right there in Las Vegas is waiting for that.
All right. Well, here's their big chance. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Where are you calling from, please?
This is Fritz from Phoenix calling.
Yes.
Art, you got to admit, this time you took a bigger bite than you can chew, huh? Well, Stan.
Yeah?
Stan, you're at it again. You're telling the whole nation about Bigfoot dead. Don't you know he has to move his family again? And something else, then, I think you should get the Nobel Prize for telling us everything.
I have to move what?
Bigfoot Daddy has to move his family again because you're telling the whole nation where he is.
No, he won't. All he's got to do is go back into the fifth dimension.
Stan, don't you quit. Don't you know when it's time to quit?
No, I'll never quit till I go over the hill.
Well, Stan, they're waiting for you. Goodbye, Stan.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
All right. You know that man, do you, Stan?
That voice, I think, I'm not for sure. But I do or not.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Where are you calling from, please?
Yes, Lexington, Kentucky.
Kentucky, yes, sir.
Yes, I was wondering if your guest was familiar with the Patterson film and if he could comment whether
that... Yes, sir, where is that, though? I know him, I knew him for years.
Is that an actual picture, photograph, and movie of?
It could be a picture of him, but if it is, it's touch. That's what I was talking about a while ago. But the guy that took that picture was, if he did, he said he did anyway. That done all the work on it. That it was touched up.
Oh, that one was touched up.
That's all I know about it.
Are you talking about the caller? Is this the famous moving video of Bigfoot?
Yes, where he was riding the horse and was thrown, and I think it was taken somewhere in California.
Yeah. And so, Stan, you're saying that picture was touched up?
Well, I'm saying I think it was. I was told it was. I'm not saying it was or not, but I don't believe that in the first place, they tell me they can't be a picture took of them unless they want it.
Huh. All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Hello.
Hi, Art. Great show. It's Dan in the U District.
Yes, Dan.
And, hope your mom got my fax before she left.
She did.
I'll just one question, and I'll hang up and listen. And this is an incredible show. They just keep getting more intense, Art. If your guest could tell us what his take is on the story of Frank Strangis and Valthor and the crew people from Victor One, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thank you. You know about Valthor and all the rest of that?
Yes, I do.
Well, what's your take on that, Stan?
There's no comment on that because I know Frank Strangis pretty well, and I know. I've been to a lot of his meetings. I spoke with him. I was on the tour with him and Tim Buckley. He seems to be like a very straight guy. But I don't know about nothing about Val Thor.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was one guy here. He was in the Pentagon. And they're still supposed to have his suit of clothes there. And they still haven't found no way to burn it or to cut it or to destroy it.
Odd.
But whatever it's made out of.
Well, it's quite a story you've got. Instead of Sasquatch, as the faxer said, being a remnant still on this plane, in this dimension with us, you're telling us Sasquatch has a whole nother world in another dimension, that there are connections to aliens and all the rest of it, right?
That's right. He was thinking, like I say, now they live just on other planets and mostly in the other dimension, in the fifth dimension. Mm-hmm. But we are in the third dimension ourselves. Time tells us that.
Stan, who gave you these tests that you took?
They were highly professionals from college that done it and doctors. And I had five people of my own each time. When I had the sodium pentothal, it was given by CIE. I had a guy, those five people that I knew, good friends. They told me not to talk about what the government knew about the aliens and what their dealings with them. They told us they did, and it's there. There's a law in Washington, D.C. that anybody caught talking to an alien can be thrown in solitary confinement, and he will stay there for the rest of his life. He'll never see nobody, or nobody will ever see him.
Sam,
came home. I told him I would keep talking. I came home. About 2 weeks later, I've still got the bullet hole in my door facing. I was standing out on the front porch.
Stan?
Yeah.
If the CIA gave you sodium pentothal, then...
Well, the CIA didn't. A doctor did. But he was there.
Directed by the CIA?
Yeah, but he had to ask... He couldn't ask just so many questions, and that was it.
Do you have the records of this?
I do.
In other words, they gave you the medical records of the test results and everything?
Yeah, all the results. And I have witnesses to prove that I was done it. And like I say, all I can do is just hope people will understand that there are other people out there besides us. There's people that's trying to help us. And you're talking about the crop circles. I have five circles in less than three city blocks of where I live, in the mountains up here and down in the flat valley. Some of them have been there for over 18 and 86, I traced back, burnt in the ground.
So you think you live in this other dimension, Stan. Is there a parallel physically? In other words, when you move into the fifth dimension from there and where you are in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
Is the other side very much the same from a climatic point of view, a physical point of view, the foliage? Is it similar?
Similar, it is in a way, but when you go in, I weighed about approximately 190 pounds, and I in there, it seemed like I weighed about 100 pounds because it's lighter. The air is lighter. I had a little trouble breathing for a few minutes. Another thing.
What about
when you
the,
go
what,
through that door, you better not have no metal whatever. They got me a jumpsuit to put on, and you'll burn up because it's a static.
Sort of the same rules as one has with the microwave. All right, Stan, stand by. And we'll come back to you and take calls for about another half hour here in just a moment. You're listening to Stan Johnson, who's been to the fifth dimension and back many times. More in a moment. Back to the lines for you and let what they have to say. East to the right, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing, Art? This is Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to ask two quick questions. What's the most he's ever seen of these beings at one time? And are their sexual organs similar to humans?
All right. Both good questions. Are they is their world as populated? How many have you ever seen at one time?
I've seen seven at one time.
Seven.
Seven. And they are, I don't know, there's several thousand all over the United States and all over the world, like I say. There's there's seven species of them. They're different type, like the white, and then there's a brown-colored one, and then there's some yellow color, their hair. But these up here is mostly brown, or dark brown. They look black at a distance.
How often do you see them?
Now I haven't, I've been pretty busy here lately, and I haven't, because I got to stay here and watch the telephone all the time on account of the book when they're calling in from other radio stations where I gave out the book. But anyway, I haven't talked to them now for about, I'd say 6 weeks.
6 weeks. And the other question about their sexual organs, are they similar to humans?
They're just exactly the same.
Okay, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Hello. Oh, I've got to push the button. West of the Rockies, now you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Hello.
Yes, hello. Art Bell?
Yes.
Good evening. This is great. Stan Johnson, The Only Planet of Choice, it's a book, and it talks about somebody by the name of Tom representing the Council of Nine. And they talk about extraterrestrials and if we were out there and now we're here. Do you have a comment on that book?
Do I have what?
Do you have a comment on that book, he said?
I haven't read it.
Yeah. Well, it talks a lot about what you're talking about, that we're not from here and...
Well, we're not really, we're not from here because we was brought down. The Indians took the United States, black people took Africa and so on like that. That's how we got separated. They was all used to it one time. There was 17 other planets up there and there was all one nationality on each planet. But now they migrate backward and forth just like the United States. They've got all kind of nationalities.
Well, who brought us here? They brought us here?
God did.
God did.
God had us put down here. Archangel Michael was the one that helped finish the planet. That's why he got the name Architect, because he went and got some angels and made architects out of them.
Architectural angels.
That's why they're called archangels.
Archangels.
Look it up in the Bible and you'll find it there.
I see. Wild card line, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Hello.
Hi, Art. I enjoy the show. With all due respect to Mr. Johnson, I feel that you could have gotten a better person to represent the subject. That's all I have to say.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, sir.
You know, Stan, I've got to kind of agree with him in a way. I'm a little concerned about the way you're presenting this. Tying it up with aliens that are protecting us in the fifth dimension, and it all seems awfully wild to me.
Well, how is it that so many people have seen spaceships and seen stuff like that? Are they all liars, too?
No.
And so many people have been say they've been abducted? Are they liars?
Well, There's no way.
I have no reason.
Okay,
I have no
Stan,
reason to do this.
Stan, there's
I'm
no
money off of it.
Uh huh. Well, yes, you are. You wrote a book.
Oh my God, I spent several thousand dollars until we were broke to going and doing seminars on my own. I went to Washington. I came to Nevada there one time. I went to Phoenix, Arizona. I paid every damn thing out of my own pocket.
Why? Well, the question is why, Stan? Why would you do that?
Because I have friends up here that is which people out there call animals. I want to get them brought out so that they can prove that they're not animals. They're human beings. They're space people. They better wake up and better take heed. And like I said, the government has been dealing with these people for years and years and kept us hid. If you remember, Eisenhower met with them on the golf course in Palm Springs, California. And it's a very documented fact.
I've never seen that document.
Well, it is. It's there. Get a hold of Don Lehrer or Bill Cooper.
I know them both.
So either one of them can give you that. Look at Bill Cooper. He's been shot at 3 or 4 times because he's putting that out.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Shane Lexington.
From where?
Lexington.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to raise a couple points about what Stan's saying. He's totally ignoring physics. I mean, he's using the fifth dimension as if it's, you know, a three-dimensional. He's describing the fifth dimension, you know, with three-dimensional creatures existing in it. And, I mean, that's not impossible. It's like a contradiction. I'm a physics student, by the way. And
all right, so you're saying should there be a fifth dimension?
Oh,
it would not have any relationship that we understand to where we are now in the third.
Exactly, or will it really 4 dimensions, including time? It'd be like a two-dimensional creature trying to comprehend a three-dimensional creature, which is totally impossible. I mean, it's not perceivable to the human mind. I mean, well, the three-dimensional being. And another thing, what he's describing is hyperspace, traveling, you know, from like at such far distances and, you know, such a little amount of time, vortexes and such.
Yes.
And that would take the equivalent energy of like a million times what the energy our sun can produce. And I mean, I just don't see where that's possible. I mean, not yet anyway.
Well, you're saying on the one hand that travel would be possible given a certain amount of energy.
Yeah, theoretically it is, yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. He says, from a physics point of view, Stan, it can't be.
But I don't know. Like I said, I have a seventh grade education. I don't know anything about that physics, but I do know that I can travel thousands and thousands of miles with their help in about 5 to 10 seconds because you travel by thought and mind alone. And that's how now they run a lot of their spaceships. They put a helmet on their head or a strap around their head deal, and they think about where they're going, and that's where they're going. In the Bible, there's one place that says man will learn to travel by thought alone. I had a Catholic priest to tell me that, and I have had a lot of them come and congratulate me on what I said about where we came from.
Well, actually, on that score, you're not very far off at all. As a matter of fact, right now, Stan, they are testing helmets for our jet fighters that, in fact, allow aircraft to be manipulated by thought alone. Stay right where you are, Stan. We'll be right back to you. This is Dreamland. While Republicans and Democrats bicker over whose fault it is the national debt's got so big so fast, the debt itself continues to grow by more than, get this, $100 billion every single 24 hours. 100 days of talking about balancing the budget without doing it, well, that adds another $100 billion to the national debt. Imagine that. $100 billion piles onto the debt every 3 months. America, wake up. It's a ticking time bomb. We do not have until 2002, the year Congress says it hopes to have the budget balanced. Responsible money people know we're headed for one of three scenarios. Either income taxes must more than double in the next 7 years, Treasury will default on bonds, or printing press money will be used to pay back bondholders, setting off runaway inflation. We challenge any financial planner, stockbroker, or government official to prove otherwise. The evidence is growing fast. The dollar is headed for a historic devaluation. Who'll bail us out?
How will your savings be affected? Can you protect yourself? For a free factual report, call North American Trading at 1-800-877-9799. Get the facts. Call now, 1-800-877-9799. Hard water. It's a big problem here in Pahrump. It's a big problem everywhere. I don't care where you are. If you've got hard water, you've got problems. You're paying more than you have to just to heat the water. Putting up with decreased water pressure, poor sudsing, and you've got that ugly white stuff everywhere. Got your faucets, plugging your shower head, and that unending toilet bowl ring. Well, my wife and I don't have that problem anymore. About a year and a half ago, we had GMX water conditioning installed in our home. No salt, no filters, no electricity, no maintenance, no hidden ongoing costs. Our water no longer feels hard, and yet all the healthy minerals are still in it. Scientists call it magnetohydrodynamics, a big word for a simple process. GMX even dissolves the scaling you already have in all for just $600. Comes with a 90-day, no-hassle, money-back guarantee. Lifetime warranty, so how can you go wrong? Get ready for water that doesn't feel hard. Just call 1-800-4060-GMX and order today. You won't be sorry. That number is 1-800-4060-GMX. All right, let's try and reconnect here with the fifth dimension. Stan?
Yep.
Okay. Let's take a couple more calls here, Stan, and see what people are saying. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Hi. Hello there?
Yes.
You're on the air, sir. Where are you?
From Duluth, Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh.
Yes.
Duluth, Minnesota.
Yes, I got that. Go ahead, sir.
All right, I'd just like to know if you knew of any other people that...
Yes?
Where'd you go?
I don't know. Wait, sir, why do you keep stopping? Ask your question.
Because it's...
Goodbye. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Hello.
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 Yes. Is this the Stan Johnson on the...
Stan Johnson, yes.
Okay. I had a couple comments. One was I thought it was supposed to be about Bigfoot, and I have a thing about that, that an encounter at about 1994 in the summer in the Cascades.
Yep.
Hello.
They're there.
And it was there were two objects there. I had a 40-pound back on my backpack. It was up by Trout Lake and Big Heart and Little Heart Lake in the North Cascades. And it was about a 6 or 8 hour hike back there. And I never said this out publicly, but anyway, I saw these two objects. I thought they were bears, you know, because they were down on their all fours. And it turned out to be, and then I sat down to rest a little bit, and I saw these objects, and then all of a sudden I saw them stand up, and I thought it was bears standing up in their hind paws. They were about, I imagine, 200, 300 feet away. And so, anyway, after they had left, they walked away, and they were, like I say, about 6.5 feet, maybe 5.5 feet, something like that. So... And when I got my courage up, I went over to where they were to see what they were doing. And there were some wild strawberries and stuff there. And they were kind of dark brownish color. They were not bears, definitely not bears, because I've shot bears before. And I was scared out of my pants. But I think is this Sam Johnson I'm talking to?
It's Stan Johnson, sir.
I'm sorry. Well, anyway, I think that that's a little far out, the fifth dimension. I think it's a long way out, and I wish that we could have more anecdotal explanations, just like, you know, calling people like I'm doing myself.
All right. Well, we'll get to that here shortly. If it comforts you, I agree with you. I think it sounds far out to me, too. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Hello.
Doc Bell.
Yes.
I love your show, man. I listen to it every week and every night. If we're playing truth or trash, it's trash. Have a good night, pal.
Yeah, I see it. We'll see you. Stan, they don't believe you.
I kind of hope what they believe. But like I say, it is true, and they're talking about why do they believe that we're in the third dimension? Because that's the same. When I was up there in the fifth dimension, I asked them where I was at.
said I was standing right in my front yard.
Stan,
I couldn't believe that either.
Stan,
how could I be standing in my front yard and not see my house?
Stan, I don't think that it's necessarily that people don't believe, for example, that there are other dimensions, because I believe that may be possible.
No. Well, why?
I don't think it's that people don't believe that there may be aliens or creatures from elsewhere, because that's possible.
You know, why are they doing what they're going to do down there?
Stan, let me finish, please.
First class.
Stan?
Yeah.
Let me finish, please.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's that they don't believe necessarily in any of these things that you're talking about. The alternative world, the Sasquatch, UFOs, aliens, different dimensions. It's just that you have sort of tied everything together. You know, you have taken the most difficult to believe of all and tied them together, it seems like.
But they are together.
Well, obviously that's what you're saying, but that's what I think people are responding to and what I'm responding to when I say it sounds pretty far-fetched.
Are you afraid to think that they're together?
No. No, Stan, I'm not.
Well, that's what the people are, I think, out there. Are afraid to, really afraid to admit it. They're afraid of the unknown. I was.
Well, yes, people are afraid, perhaps, of the unknown, but we deal with that on a regular basis on this program. It's the meat and potatoes of this program.
What I was trying to say is, why are these people going to pay my plane ticket and my hotel room and everything to get me back there, and they know me? Jerry McLean knows me, and all of them people knows me. Why are they going to do that? If they don't believe it, that I am telling the truth.
Well, do you show people the records of the tests you've taken?
No, I've never showed anybody the records of them. Well, just a few people right here in Oregon where I live, my group that I'm with.
Uh-huh. Why not? I would think that that would be...
Because they told me that that wasn't necessary. If they can't believe me, then they've got to believe... Why believe something on paper? They got to believe that I'm who I am. I got to sell myself to the people, not my book or anything. I got to sell myself that I am truthful. I have no reason to. You're talking about the book. I won't make nothing off of that book. I'm in the hole by doing it.
Well, I can believe that. No, I do believe it, Stan. And I believe, actually, that you believe what you're saying as well. And then you go beyond that, and you say that all of this is achieved through astral or out-of-the-body travel, right?
No, no, I didn't say that. I said I traveled out of the body.
Well, right.
I've traveled out of my body for years and years. That's easy. Everybody do. You do it if you dream. But that's how you go places. When you dream, you leave your body. But you control it.
I don't know about that. I've had a lot of dreams, but I don't know that I've left my body, Stan. I can't say I've left my body.
How do you dream about being someplace else?
Well, I think there is a scientific explanation for what dreams are. We don't fully understand them, but it does not automatically mean we are where we dream about.
But anybody can leave their body if they just try it hard enough, and you got to concentrate and completely go relaxed and meditate and do it.
Well, I'm as close as I ever have been.
See, I can tell you right now, I don't take drugs, never have. I don't drink. I'm not a drinker, or I don't even smoke or nothing.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Johnson. Hello.
Stan, hello. I'd like to say that I'd like to encourage Stan to keep telling the truth, and everything he says rings true. And I appreciate what he's doing, and I appreciate the risks he's taking.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Arizona.
Arizona. And you say this because of what? You say this because you know what he says is so? You've experienced it?
I have experiences that correlate with what he's saying, and when someone tells the truth, you can tell if you know what you're listening for. And what he says is true. I would also like to say that in physics, there are an infinite number of two-dimensional spaces in three-dimensional space, which correlates, there are an infinite number of three-dimensional spaces in fourth and fifth-dimensional space.
All right, well, gone beyond me. I understand the third dimension. I'm not sure I understand the fifth or segments within each one of them. I'm not sure what you mean.
Can you imagine a cube?
Yes.
Well, then split that into planes. Those are two-dimensional spaces.
I see.
So if you take that a step higher, there's an infinite number of three-dimensional in a fourth or fifth dimension.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Thank you very much. So there's a little support for you, Stan. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Stan Johnson.
Good evening to you, gentlemen. And I'm calling from Fresno, California, in the San Joaquin Valley, Mr. Bell and Mr. Johnson.
All right.
Okay, I agree with Mr. Johnson. You don't have to be a scientist or a celebrity to experience the unknown or the paranormal. But what I'd like to ask you, Mr. Bell, and you, Mr. Johnson, if you have experienced all these things, which you probably have, wouldn't you succumb to severe shock or a heart attack like the next person?
All right. That is a good question, Stan. Why didn't you mentioned somebody had a heart attack. How did you live through it, fright-wise?
How did I what?
How did you live through it, fright-wise? In other words, why didn't you have a heart attack and drop dead?
Why should I? I wasn't afraid of them. I haven't never been afraid of them. I didn't have a heart attack. Another man did.
I understand that. But why were you not afraid? It would be a normal human...
Because I don't know. I expected it, seemed like. Seemed like it happened every day to me. I mean, it was just another thing. It wasn't no more me to walk up to them. It was another man up there, another person in the woods.
All right, Stan, listen, we're going to move on and do an hour of open line talk. I'm going to give you an opportunity, though, to plug your book. It's called Bigfoot Memoirs, My Life with Sasquatch. Where do people... Wildflower Press, right?
Well, they order from me.
They order from you?
Yeah, they order from me. They can get it better if they order it from me, and I'll autograph it and put in what they say, what they want to...
So you'll send them an autographed version?
Yeah, they...
All right, what is the number there, Stan?
It's Stan Johnson, 6059 State Highway 138 West. That's Oakland, Oregon, 97462. Or they can call me at 541. They just changed their area code.
Yeah, I know, 541.
459-3109. And the book is $12.50, postpaid.
Okay, Stan, it has been a pleasure having you on the air. And I thank you. I didn't necessarily buy everything that Stan had to say, I must say. But we'll be back with open lines in a moment. Out of control shortly after the sightings. As yet, no debris from any exploded objects has been found. So there you have it. That's kind of the latest news and a lot of what we're working on. We will continue to try to find, for your edification, a guest with regard to Bigfoot. It is something I'm following very carefully. I have got Cliff Crook's photograph of Bigfoot. And, of course, you never have any way of truly judging anybody. I think the problem with Stan was, as I suggested to him on the air, that any one of these individual things that he talked about might be explored by themselves, but he has strung so many things together that the probability and the credibility of the way it was presented suffered, as did we all. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, my name's Joaquin. I'm calling from Phoenix.
Hi.
Hi. And I was going to comment that back in 87, the Virgin Mary appeared on Bayside, New York, and said that if people didn't, repent from the way we're living, that she called it a ball of fire. This was before Hale-Bopp was discovered, that a ball of fire would hit the earth. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Well, I really can't because I have no way of substantiating it. However, there's yet more news, and it has to do with a new comet that has been discovered. And I informed the audience about this last week, and a lot of people said you're crazy as a loon. Well, I'm not. It is a new comet, and as a matter of fact, it's going to turn out to be brighter, we understand, than even Hale-Bopp is forecast to be. This was discovered by a Japanese man using a pair of binoculars. Believe it or not, it is the truth. And it's called, Comet I'll get to it here in a sec. Hayataki. Hayataki. And was discovered by this Japanese man by the same name using a 25 by 150 set of binoculars. And when discovered, the comet was about a tenth magnitude and moderately condensed. A preliminary orbit for this comet indicates that it may become a very bright object in March and April and May of this year. The information given, then it goes on to give all the technical information, but it is going to come much closer than Hale-Bopp is. So all of a sudden we're hearing and seeing about an unprecedented number of comets. This, by the way, is the third. There is yet another out there. And I don't recall a time when the Earth has been or is about to be visited by as many close-passing, large, newly discovered comets as present day. I mean, this is pretty odd. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
And I'd just like to say that Stan, the guy that was talking before...
Yep.
He just had, it seemed like he had a problem articulating himself as far as his story that he wanted to tell.
That may well be so. The man is 80 years old. He has a pretty bad cold right now. And that makes it a little difficult right off the bat. You add that age on to a bad cold and feeling kind of rough. And you're right. He perhaps had difficulty articulating what he was trying to say. But for my taste, he put together too many things that might be examined and wondered about individually, but strung all together, seemed impossible.
Well, I'm a researcher. I've been researching like a lot of the different subjects, and everything you said tied into a lot of the things that I've researched. And I would just back whatever I could up if, you know, someone picked a specific subject, like you said.
Well, you know, we went from Sasquatch to Sasquatch living in the fifth dimension to aliens protecting the Earth, being in touch with Sasquatch, to out-of-body experiences.
Well, touching on the out-of-body experiences thing, that's a very easy thing to do for, I think everyone can do that.
Right, I believe that.
In their, you know, relaxing.
Uh-huh. Yes, I believe that. And I believe it's a legitimate field of inquiry. I just, for my taste, and the way it was presented...
Yeah, it should have been more focused on the Bigfoot thing instead of him going off on all these other tangents.
Yeah, that's my feeling, too. I appreciate your call, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you, and take care. So... So there you are, as I say. It's may have been a bad night for Stan, or... I don't know. It's just the way the presentation was hard to swallow. And I'm generally capable of swallowing quite a bit, you know, because we've had a number of guests on here talking about a lot of, as a matter of fact, the same things that Stan talked about, but generally individually, and generally not stringing them all together. I mean, we've had a lot of very credible researchers on here regarding other dimensions. The late Robert Monroe, for example, from the Monroe Institute, talks of other dimensions very much the way Stan did, with a bit of a different slant, but still the same sort of thing. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Dave from Cape Coral, Florida.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think Stan and Harley Byrd met in the fifth dimension.
That could be. You know, I should have asked.
I was wondering, do you still drive the Geos?
Absolutely.
How are they running?
Like tops, never a problem.
Great. I had one more question. Mm. Why can't callers give their last names on the air? I've never understood that.
All right, then I'll explain it to you. If a caller were to say something that would tend would be libelous, then presuming that it got through. Not only would the radio stations and the network be libeled or subject to civil litigation, but the caller would as well.
Very good.
Okay?
Appreciate the answer.
Right. Thank you for asking. That way everybody hears it. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to comment, like others have called and you've been observing, that was a pretty frustrating interview there.
Yeah.
But especially because the subject matter is of great interest.
Well, it is. You know, you're exactly right. And we have looked long and hard for somebody to give us an articulate presentation on Sasquatch.
Yeah, I listen to your show so often, and it has been rare that real solid information has been coming through. Hopefully it's you know, coming up somewhere. Someone's going to be able to articulate it. I almost started getting the feeling like that if you wanted to, if you were a Sasquatch or someone involved with all that on their side of the world or dimension or whatever, if you wanted to have disinformation, maybe Stan would be a perfect way to do it, because you know, he would convince a lot of people that all this stuff is a bunch of hooey.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't really believe that at all there's a bunch of hooey, but I mean, you'd have to really be able to articulate and communicate.
No, I think there is something to this Sasquatch business, and I'm not going to give up.
Watch out for the disinformation.
I'm not going to get discouraged. Somewhere out there, there really is somebody with some good... You know, right now, there are scientists, believe it or not, testing what is purported to be patches of... I don't know if they're fur. Is that the right way to put it? Fur, hair, whatever.
Yeah.
And... there have been a lot of sightings, and there are some photographs out there. I've got one right now, which is absolutely incredible. And so I think there is something to this. I just don't know where to go to find the person to...
So it does seem like that they do have some control over whether or not you can see them and find them, so that's part of the problem, doesn't it?
I know, and unfortunately, it gives some credence to what part of what, at least, Stan was trying to say, that they can come and go at will.
I could sort of buy that. It just wasn't clearly,
succinctly laid out for you. Yes, all right. Thank you very much. On the other hand, folks, Stan, as I said, is 80 years old and is from the backwoods in Oregon, has lived there all his life, is not a complicated person, is not a well-to-do person, and... I think believes every word of what he was saying. That much I will give him. But the way it was laid out, with just literally every aspect of the metaphysical and alien world, and we didn't even get to the Socorro crash and the six-fingered creatures, but he reached into sort of every metaphysical bucket that's sitting out there right now, and I guess that's what did it for me. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello there. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning. Evening.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah. Art?
Yes.
Okay, am I on?
You're on.
Oh, okay, good. I know where there's a six-fingered body. I'm pretty sure it is. It appears to be one. You take I-10 out of Phoenix?
Yes.
And you go... past the next town. I can't think of the name of the next big town, but anyway, it's a place called The Thing, The Thing, T-H-I-N-G. And it's an ancient body in there. They said they found it in a cave up by Phoenix, and that it was inspected, and it's mummified.
Well, now, you know, there is a very rare condition that will produce six digits on a human
it's
finger. Hand, rather.
Yeah, I'm just saying that this body appears to have six fingers, but you'd have to put an X-ray machine on it to know for sure. Because it appears to have been mummified in leather. Anyway, 35 years ago, I got about 35 feet away from two Sasquatch.
You did?
Yes, and it was much like the same fella that called before and said that he thought it was a bear. It was a night, moonlit night, the clouds breaking in and out, and snow on the ground. And I was walking down a backcountry road up in Northern California, and I just looked to the left, and the first thought was, my God, a bear, and it's standing up. And I was going to run, but if you've ever been so scared, you just do a half step and then don't run and keep stepping.
Oh, yes.
That's what I did, because in the second look, there was two of them, and they were both standing there, and I didn't run. I just looked at them, and they watched me right across the highway, which the highway is, what, about 10 foot on each side. So
now, see, that's why I'm persisting in this, because too many people have seen what appears to be a creature that is not human and not animal,
right?
But sort of in between.
Right. Their necks, they're kind of short. They're shorter necks, real short necks, and some he didn't mention, their arms are longer, like almost down to the knees, and very big on top.
No, it's true. I have, for what it's worth, I have a photograph of exactly what you just talked about.
Right.
I've got that picture. I'm tempted to post it. We'll see.
Yeah, okay, Art. Well, I just thought I'd let you know about that. And that thing is out there, and she appears, it looks like a woman with a small one, and appears to have six fingers.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate the call, sir.
Okay, thanks, Art.
Thank you, and take care. So, there you are, folks. I don't know what it is. I just know that I will continue to pursue an articulate spokesman with regard to the Sasquatch business, because there are stories that simply abound. And I'm not saying that my guest didn't grasp some of it, or I'm not even going to question what he said, because I do believe that the man believed what he was telling us. It's just that I want some more information on this, and I want it from a good, articulate spokesperson, and we will continue to seek that despite the difficulties entailed in doing so. We'll be right back.
Radio Network.
It is, and I've got a very interesting report here. It's a follow-up to the Somaliland story, and it's by Reuters, and it says Somaliland authorities are saying mysterious explosions over northwest Somalia have made people fall ill and animals behave strangely. And they are now asking for an international probe into reports that unidentified aircraft flew over that region of the breakaway state. The government of the self-declared Republic of Somaliland says two explosions in the sky were heard in December in the port city of Berbera on the Gulf of Aden and in the Solund Sana regions to the east and southeast. And you already know the rest of it, how it affected people and animals. But they are now calling for an international investigation into what it was. And again, they had some sightings of what they call aircraft. They're not using the word UFOs. They're talking about aircraft. So somehow I'm beginning to suspect the evil hand of man at work here, and I wonder what it is we exploded, or let me correct that, what it is somebody exploded over that country. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, two things about Stan.
Yes.
When he mentioned that he was with the CIA, suddenly
he didn't say he was with the CIA, and that is not what got bleeped.
What got bleeped.
I let the CIA, you heard me talking to him about that.
Yeah.
That didn't get bleeped. What got bleeped was the Lord's name mentioned in a way that people would have found discomforting.
Okay. I got the wrong impression.
Yeah,
and
no, the CIA business, that's another aspect of it that bothered me. You know, Stan said, well, the CIA had commissioned somebody apparently to to give him a drug, drug, and you know, he says he has records of it but can't show them to anybody, and that bothered me. And with regard to the hypnotic records and all the rest of it, I guess, you know, he's shown his wife or somebody close by, but does not show people who inquire about it.
I agree. Yeah, that bothered me too.
Yeah.
I attended a lecture of his about 2 years ago here in Eugene, Oregon, and he says he's not particularly religious.
Right.
And yet he began his lecture by saying that only those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are worthy of this knowledge, and can, and Sasquatch can only trust those who accept, who are Christian, in other words. And a few of us there are not, we're not Christian.
Well, he didn't deny religion. He said, to be fair to him, he said he had his own personal contact with God, and I would give much the same answer. I feel the same way. I'm not.
Right, I do too. But at the time, that is what he said at the lecture. I mean, who knows? You know, I'm not. And I agree with a lot of the other callers. He has his own experiences, and I want to respect that. But as you've said, he's just tying all of these things together, and it's troublesome. And
too many baskets.
Exactly, and I would love to hear a really good speaker on the Bigfoot.
Well, that makes two
of us. Right. Yeah.
Or probably a million of us.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Art Bell and Stan Johnson. Art, it would seem to me that if any of it's true, then all of it's true. Many people leave their body, experience worlds that are far beyond the chicken muck that we live in. It all must be connected. If it's not connected, then none of it is true. Then we should all stop wasting time talking about it. Since I know that at least some of it is true, paranormal, ETs, astral projection, etc., then I'm not so arrogant to presume I can make such sweeping determinations to try to identify what is and what is not. That's absolutely true, Dave. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
I'm a regression therapist.
Yes, sir.
And I've done a regression of a six-fingered Sasquatch that was Joan of Arc in a previous life, but now is a 666-degree Mason in the Trilateral Commission.
A friend of mine, probably.
Yeah, and I'd like to be a guest. I think I could tie all this together.
Could you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just tried real hard for the last couple hours.
I'm just pulling your leg.
Yeah, I know.
That was great.
I know. Actually, in its own way, it was classic.
I think a lot of his problem, like you said, he only has a seventh grade education. And I think that gave him a lot of trouble. He wasn't very
well. That's right. But then again, on the other hand, he's 80 years old. He lives out in the woods in backwoods Oregon.
Right.
And where would such a story come from?
Exactly. Who else would come in contact with one?
Yeah.
But someone whose inbred relatives might be one.
Well, I don't know that I would have put it that way. But I, yeah, if there is any country where these creatures are, that is the country. And on up through Washington, there's no question about it.
Yep.
So, what do I know? I know it wasn't a good day for Stan. I'll say that. It wasn't a good
day. And after last weekend, I just hope they can swim.
You have a good point. And,
yeah.
I imagine they're having to contend with the swollen and overflowing rivers the way mere mortals are.
That's right.
I appreciate the call.
Bye, Art.
Thank you. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is Mike in Oregon.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on that Sasquatch.
Yes.
I'm in a law enforcement position, and I talked to a officer up in the Hood River area. This is about a year ago. And he went out on a call and investigated a handprint on the glass of a cabin. It was 17 inches long.
Right.
Now, this is secondhand, you know. I just heard it talking in a phone conversation on some other business.
Right.
But, you know, I get in the woods a lot, and how many people have been out there hunting and have found the carcass of a bear or even seen a live bear? You know, hunters. I know a lot of hunters. Like I said, myself, I hunt, and I've never seen a mountain lion. I've seen tracks. You know, it's just one of those things. I think there's something to it.
I think there's something to it, too. There's something going on. I can't put my finger on it. Some kind of creature is out there. The other night, Dan Rather, at the beginning and end of his newscast, said that Sasquatch is now put on the endangered species list. So there's obviously people out there that very firmly believe there is such a creature. And I'm going to keep plugging away, and we will eventually find somebody to speak to us on the subject in depth.
Okay, one more comment and I'll get off. My wife said she heard on the radio about that I'm not trying to throw a monkey wrench into this, but that stuff they were analyzing that was supposed to be Sasquatch hair.
Yes.
It turned up to be a synthetic.
No, that came from my show, and that yes, it did, and that is not the hair sample or fur sample, if you will, or
right.
Whatever it is that is presently being examined. That was another case.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that clears me up. Thank you very much.
You bet. That was on my program, as a matter of fact. We'll be right back. Although we GMX back now to the phones. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is Mark from Collinsville on SETCOM.
Hi there.
Yes, I went to sleep early on your first guest, and a buddy of mine called up while I was asleep and told me that a Japanese person has found a new comet.
Oh, it's absolutely true, yes.
What is your source on that?
I've got several different sources on this.
Can you mention one?
Yeah, I can. It's an internet article, and it's also been on Reuters. And I've got about two or three faxed newspaper articles to me. They're not here. No, this is accurate. The new comet comes extremely close to the sun, 0.22 AU, as opposed to 1 AU for Hale-Bopp.
Correct.
And I've got all the orbital data on it as well. So, no, this is accurate, discovered by a Japanese man with binoculars.
That should be coming up in time, Sky and Telescope, or maybe Astronomy Magazine.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, am I correct to assume that these Hale-Bopp and this new comet will be in the skies at the same time?
You know, it sounds that way, yes.
And wouldn't it sort of fit in with Hopi prophecy?
And when this was first seen, sir, it was of a tenth magnitude. That's very bright.
And you're familiar with Hopi prophecy?
I am, yes.